Before I start our song that we're going to sing it a cappella because today we are honoring our pastor today, and this song has been on my heart and my mind pretty much all week long. Mom knows I've been singing it all day, and I want to praise the Lord for my family. And you know, the world says that, you know, we as preachers' kids, we miss out on a lot of things. And we do miss out on a lot of things that matters to them. But in the end, you know, we truly have been sheltered by God's grace. And God's grace is what's going to take us to the end and what's going to allow us to be like our parents and like the great preachers that we've heard come across these pulpits. And I just want to thank you, Dad, for your stand that you take from God's word that you've instilled in us, that God has used to work in our heart to bring us to where we are today. I missed out on heartache this world feels every day. And I missed out on a broken home that would steal my joy away. And I missed out on all the things you said I missed out on. Oh, but somehow I've a heart of peace while their good times are gone. 'Cause I've been sheltered by His grace, kept in a safe place, protected by the prayers of those who've always sought His face. And in a world of shifting sands, I can hold on to their hand, for they've guided me on how to run this race. And as the years go on, I'm sheltered by His grace. Grace can take the sin away that stained a soul for years. And grace can take a life that's pure from shedding bitter tears. And the grace that's brought me safe this far will safely lead me on. And the truth that they've instilled in me will last when they are gone. 'Cause I've been sheltered by His grace, kept in a safe place, protected by the prayers of those who've always sought His face. And in a world of shifting sand, I can hold on to their hand, for they've guided me on how to run this race. And as the years go on, I'm sheltered by His grace. And as the years go on, I'm sheltered by His grace. Sometimes my mind wanders where I would have been if Jesus hadn't rescued me from the shackles of my sin. I would be so helpless, hopeless, and lost if Jesus hadn't paid the price in such a mighty cost. Thank you, Jesus, for all the things you've done, for all the battles that we fought together and the victories you've won. I want to
Thank you, girls. They were waiting on me to start playing the piano for them, I think, but I know. Maybe you were waiting on that, but it wasn't going to happen. I do want to say thank you all, the church, all of you, for making my birthday special again. I got enough candy for, well, at least it lasts me through Friday. I got a lot of candy anyway, but I got some nice cards that were loaded. Amen. Loaded cards are good cards. But I do want to say thank you all, every one of you that were involved in that, that was involved in that. And I got this book from, I think it was the teenage girls class, Miss Claudia's class. And this thing is, boy, I thought, wow. And I looked at the published date, originally 1938. And it's just a ton of sayings and scriptures and quotes and different categories. And one of them is analogies. Happiness is as a butterfly, which when pursued, it's always beyond our grasp, it seems like, but which, if you just sit down quietly, it might just land right on top of you. Amen. Here's a good one. Genius. Genius is the gold in the mind. Hard work is the miner who works and brings it out. You want to be a genius?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, it don't happen automatically. Here's one for you married kinds. Me. Marriage, I like it, resembles a pair of shears. That's scissors in 1938. Okay. So joined, listen now, a pair of scissors so joined that they cannot be separated, often moving in opposite directions, yet always punishing anyone who comes between them. Y'all get that? Amen. I like that. Hope. Hope is like the sun, which as we journey toward it, casts the shadow of our burden behind us. That's a good one. Amen. Here we go. A book may be compared to your neighbor. If it be good, it cannot last too long. If it's bad, you cannot get rid of it too early. Oh, man. I believe I'm, unfortunately, I've had some neighbors like that. Y'all, some of these quotes will have, in 1938, they use their brains more than I think we do in 2016. Unfortunately, joy. Video games don't do any good to make you smarter. By the way, video games, TV, and all that. You're not getting smarter, guys. Okay, joys are our wings. Sorrows, our spurs. Man, these are deep, aren't they? Sorrows, our spurs. You know, a good load of sorrow will get you up and moving in a hurry. Amen. Here's one. Preachers. Preachers should not be merely like dials on watches or milestones on the road, but like clocks and sirens to sound the alarm to sinners. Amen. Y'all better say amen. I'm going to have to preach for 2 hours. Amen. Somebody's listening.
Amen.
Thank you, Tori. Aaron, listen, Aaron wore bells as well as pomegranates. The prophets were commanded to lift up their voices like a trumpet. A sleeping sentinel may be the loss of the city. Amen. Sentinel is the watch. Again, you're going to have to dig out the dictionary. Amen. Here we go. An ungrateful man is like a hog under a tree eating acorns, but never looking up to see where they came from.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. See, now you're getting it. Here's one. Tears are the safety valve of the heart when too much pressure is laid on it.
Amen.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it? It's what's good. Temptation is the fire that brings up the scum in the heart. Yeah. Sunday, here we go. Sunday is the golden clasp That's a connect, anyway. The golden clasp that binds together the volume of the week. It is. Boy, what would we do without Sunday in church? Where would we be? Well, it'd be terrible. Here we go. Worldly riches are like nuts. Many clothes are torn in getting them. Now think about this, okay? Many a tooth broken in cracking them, but never a belly filled with eating them. Worldly riches. Yep. Here's one. Tears are often the telescope through which men see far into heaven. Yeah. Tears will get you on your knees, yeah, and you'll get a hold of God like you never did before. Yeah. Let me put it in 2016 vernacular, okay? It is, here we go. It is with a word as with an arrow. Once you let it loose, it does not return. Amen. It's good stuff. All right. Words are like leaves. Where they most abound, much fruit of sense beneath is seldom found. Boy, y'all need to take some vocabulary classes or something. Thank you for that book. I understand it. Thank you. I'll put y'all to sleep reading those quotes. Psalm 143, y'all understand this. Amen. These girls up here, you know, they're educated. They're 14 and 15 years old, you know. I don't think they study those words in school anymore. Education, yeah. But they did learn how to spell obedience this morning, Brother DeShazer.
I did.
Yeah. Psalm 143. Are y'all there yet? Amen. Let's all stand together. Let me read a few verses to you. Amen. I appreciate the girls singing for me.
Amen.
143, beginning in verse 1. Seth, did y'all see Seth's new suit?
Amen.
Amen.
I like it.
You like it?
Yeah.
He just needs to get a shirt for that tie and everything. He's working on it though.
Amen.
Next Sunday, y'all look out.
Yeah.
A well-dressed man. I don't know. I'll find something in here about a well-dressed man or something. Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Let me draw your attention back to verse 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. The next phrase is what I want to preach on for a while. Hide not thy face from me. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for your people. Oh, how precious they are in your sight. Lord, how I love them, and thank you, God, for each one of them. I pray, God, you would help me to preach with their needs in mind, with their burdens in mind, Lord, with their heart's cry in mind. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I do pray that you would not hide your face from us tonight. Oh, how we need you, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hide not thy face from me. Not long ago, this psalm, this phrase, just jumped off the page at me, as I'm sure you understand what I mean by that. It just jumped off the page at me, and it kind of gripped my heart, kind of gripped my soul. Hide not thy face from me. And I tell you here in Psalm 143, as in many other psalms, David, this is a psalm of David, King David. He is a big mess. He is a big mess. Look in verse 3. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. So he's persecuted by the enemy. He's smitten down to the ground. Now he's not dead. But his soul is wallowing in the dust, in the dirt of the ground. He is downhearted. He is discouraged. Notice in verse 4, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed. An overwhelmed spirit. Verse 7 says, hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. His spirit is overwhelmed. His spirit faileth. This means, church, that his spirit, it's just a few words to help you understand, is faint, it's feeble, it's covered over with frailty and weakness. It's hurting badly. His spirit within him. When the Bible says that it faileth in verse 7, that word faileth means that it's literally dying. Yeah. Dying. Yeah. Now, he is still alive, but his spirit is failing. It's dying. Hold your place here. We'll be back. But look over at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, notice, the spirit is broken. The spirit can be broken, and it will change your whole person. You will be a different person. Look in chapter 17 of Proverbs, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken what? Spirit drieth the bones. This drying up the bones is a physical ailment. Dry bones, obviously a physical ailment, as I preached on Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones. Amen. The drier the bones get, obviously the human body will die. There has to be that bone marrow in the bones in order for that body to live. Now listen, but when the Bible says that a broken spirit drieth the bones, it means that my spiritual problems, my spirit can literally and will very much so affect my physical health. I mean, you know as well as I do, when you see someone who's downhearted, discouraged, depressed, that they will, sooner or later, and probably sooner than later, they will get physically ill.
Amen.
Sick. A broken spirit drieth the bones. Look at chapter 18, verse 14. Chapter 18, verse 14 of Proverbs. Notice, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? What God is saying here is, listen, you know, as long as your spirit is okay, you'll be all right. As long as your spirit is good, you'll make it. As long as your spirit is what it should be, you'll be able to keep going. But a wounded spirit will pretty much end you.
Yeah. Right.
It will finish you.
Amen.
A wounded spirit, what the Bible says is nobody can bear it. A wounded spirit, if you have a good spirit, you can be physically ill. You can be emotionally even ill. But it's mainly talking about being able to overcome any problem that comes your way as long as your spirit is sound.
Amen.
Healthy. But a wounded spirit, listen, pretty much begins the end. The Bible says nobody can bear it. Once your spirit begins to get wounded, broken, you can't bear it. God is trying to tell us something here. Look over in Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, verse 16. Well, let's read 15 and 16. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, we're talking about God, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble, notice, spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, verse 16, Isaiah 57, I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. Now, what God's trying to say in verse 16 is that I know how much you can handle before your spirit begins to fail. And he said, I will stop before that happens, because if your spirit starts to fail, I'm going to lose you.
Amen.
Right. That's God speaking.
Amen.
If my spirit starts to fail, God even knows that he's going to lose me.
Yeah.
A wounded spirit, who can bear? David said in Psalm 143, verse 7, he said, my spirit faileth. You know what he's saying is, God, I'm about done. Now, we're talking about David. We're not talking about some effeminate sissy.
Yeah.
We're not talking about some pink shirt wearing... Okay, we're not going to go there. But we're not talking about some soft man who can't decide whether he's a man or a woman.
Yeah.
We're talking about David, mighty warrior David, who did.
Yeah.
He knew the difference between fighting and quitting. He knew what it meant to stand up and fight the enemies of God.
Yeah.
But now he's saying, listen to me, he's saying, God, my spirit faileth. God, you know what that means.
Yeah. That's right.
God, my spirit's failing. In other words, I may be strong as an ox, and he was, but my spirit is wounded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
My spirit is failing me. God knows, listen, according to Isaiah 57 and other scriptures and Proverbs, God knows that my spirit will sustain me, but a broken spirit will do me in. And folks, listen, none of us are exception to that. Can I tell you what this is? My spirit, listen now, this carefully, my spirit is my attitude.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
My spirit is the way that I perceive things.
That's right.
My attitude, my perspective.
Yeah.
How I respond. Because the trials and the tribulations and the hard times, like we said, the persecutions, we're going to go back to Psalm 143 in a minute, but the things that are going on in David's life, listen, weren't destroying him. Hey, listen, what was destroying David was his spirit was wounded. His spirit was broken. His spirit was failing. Like when they say, your heart's failing, you mean you're having a heart attack, you're not going to live much longer. Dear sister Ophelia's, her brain failed. You understand? And when it starts to fail, your spirit begins to fail, everything else is going to go with it.
Yeah. That's right.
Everything else is going to go with it. It's your attitude. It's the way you perceive things. It's the way you look at the situations that you're in. Go back to Psalm 143. So David's a big mess. He's persecuted. He's smitten down to the ground in his spirit, okay? Not literally, but in his spirit. He's overwhelmed. His spirit is failing. Look in verse 4. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. Because of that broken spirit, that wounded spirit, that failing spirit, listen to me, his heart is empty. The word desolate in verse 4 means empty. It means destitute. It means wasted. It means destroyed. It means desolate. It means a dry and barren land like a desert. It's a heart that is empty.
Yeah.
His spirit is gone and his heart is empty. Boy, he is a mess. Can I say that probably if he went to church like this, he wouldn't say amen. If he went to church like this, he would not sing out when it was time to sing. If he went to church like this, he would not be excited to even go to church. He probably, matter of fact, wouldn't go to church much longer. Because his heart is empty. His spirit is failing. He is a big mess. Look at Psalm 69, a few pages back. Psalm 69, verse 25. David is a mess. Psalm 69, verse 25. Let their habitation be desolate. Let none dwell in their tents. What I'm trying to get you to see there is what it means when something's desolate. It's like an empty tent. Okay, there's the shell, but there's nobody in there. The lights are on, but nobody's home. Empty inside. Now I know many, if not all of you, can relate to what I'm saying tonight. A broken spirit, a wounded spirit, an empty heart, desolate, empty, lonely, barren. There's a shell there where there should be something, there could be something, but there's not. I'm just trying to be real and help us tonight, because David was a big mess. And you know, as a human being, as a child of God, living in a world of sin, we can, and I dare to even say most of us have. Some of you may be there right now. I don't know, but I'm just preaching what God laid on my heart, is that we can get to this place. He's a big mess. Now look, I'm not done yet. There's more. Look over in verse 7. Psalm 143, back over there in verse 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Notice where it says, hide not thy face from me, lest I be like them unto them that go down into the pit. Now, wait a minute. He's not saying he's going to go to hell. You know what he's saying? He's saying, God in heaven, I feel like I'm living in hell on earth. He said, God, if you don't help me in a hurry, I'm going to be just like someone in hell. I'm going to be in agony just like someone who's down in the pit in hell. Wow. This is a man who's got some problems. Now, we need to stop and remember who we're talking about. If it can happen to David, it can happen to anybody. He says, Lord, I am a mess. Now I want you to notice, Psalm 143, the whole psalm, is a prayer. Hear my prayer, O Lord. That's how he starts. Hear my prayer, O Lord. He's praying for God to hear him, not just hear him, but look in verse 7, hear me speedily. Oh Lord, he's saying, dear God, I need you to hear me in a hurry. And dear God, my heart is empty, my spirit is broken, my spirit is wounded, my spirit is failing. I feel like I'm living in hell on earth. By the way, the worst part of hell is not going to be the fires and the torments and the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth. The worst part of hell is that you will never, ever see or hear the word or the voice of God again. David said, God, that's why he says in verse 7, hide not thy face from me. You know what he's saying? He's saying, God, I feel like I'm living in hell on earth because I can't find your face. The folks in hell tonight, they will never, The only time they're going to see God is when they're brought up out of the pit and they stand before the great white throne judgment, and He declares them to be lost and hell bound forever, and they are cast into the eternal lake of fire.
Yeah. Yep.
I believe that it's going to be there where every knee shall bow.
Amen.
And every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yep.
But you know what? It's too late. It's too late. David, however, we know is not a lost man. He's a mighty warrior. He's already been anointed king. His prayer is with great urgency. Notice, we're going to talk about this prayer for a few minutes, and I don't know how far we'll get, but notice this prayer is very specific. Hide not thy face from me. What did he mean by that? I've prayed and meditated, and I've tried to really wrap my mind up. I'm going to try to give you what God gave me, but you know, that phrase is just. That phrase just has racked my brain, so to speak. What is he saying? Here's all I can get out of this. God, number one, God's face. He's praying for God's face to reveal that God approves of him, and his approval and not his anger. Look in verse 2. Enter not into judgment with thy servant. Judgment is for the damned. Judgment is for the lost. Now, chastening and discipline, but David's saying, please, don't enter into judgment with thy servant. Because if that's the case, he says, look what he says. He says, no man alive can be justified in your sight if you really measure us up based on who we are.
Right.
You see, what he's saying is, God, don't hide your face from me. I need to know that you approve of me, that you're not angry with me.
Yes.
Don't tell me you haven't felt like that.
Yes.
God, why are you so angry at me? Why are you judging me like this? And then when you get like this, I'll guarantee you that goes through your mind.
Yeah.
God, why are you judging me? Like, please, God, don't judge me. Oh, God, please don't judge me. God, because if you judge me, if you really start racking up the things that I've done, then yes, I will never be justified. I can never stand before you. Please, God, please, are you angry at me, God? I need to know that your face approves of me. Because listen, when you're talking to someone and they're avoiding you, they're ignoring you, here's what they do. But when they turn around and they start to listen, then you know, you're not angry with me. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to use our Bibles, and I don't know how far we're going to get, but I'm trying to help you tonight with what the Lord has given me. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. Hide not thy face from me. He's saying that, God, please, your face reveals your approval and not your anger. 1 Peter 3:12 says, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. There it is. He's praying. But notice, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. David is saying to God there, oh God, what have I done, God? My spirit is failing me. My heart is empty. My soul within me, I'm persecuted. I am on the ground, God. What, please, will you please reveal your face to me so that I know you're approving, not angry with me? Because listen, that can't happen.
Right. Yeah.
That's what the Bible says. In the New Testament, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Hey, listen to me, Christian child of God. If you continually do evil, the face of the Lord, here's what you're going to see.
Right.
David said, oh God, hide, don't hide your face from me. I need to know if you're angry with me or if you approve of me. I need to know what's going on. Please don't hide your face from me. He's praying this to God. Number two, he's praying not to hide his face from him, because God's face reveals his approval instead of his anger. But God's face also reveals, go back to Psalm 143. Again, we're going to flip back and forth, so keep your place over there. God's face also not just reveals his approval instead of his anger, but God's face reveals his light, listen, in my darkness. Look in verse 3 of Psalm 143. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. David's saying, God, I'm not dead, but I feel like I'm dead. God, I'm living in darkness down here. I need to see your face. Why is that? Because God's face is light.
Amen.
Light. Listen. The reason, hey, don't miss this. This goes back to my message this morning. The reason that David was like this, the reason his spirit was so faint and failing, was because of this darkness.
Yeah.
If you stay in darkness long enough, you'll go wacko.
Yes, sir.
You'll lose your mind.
Yeah.
I'm not making... It is proven. If you stay in pitch black darkness long enough, you'll lose your mind. You'll go crazy.
Yep.
Psychologically, you will flip out. You will lose it. You will become a wacko. Can I tell you something? Spiritually speaking, your spirit will begin to fail.
Yeah.
Your heart will become empty.
Yeah.
And when you get to that place, you say, God, I need to see your face. Because listen, go over to Daniel now. We'll be back. I'll show you these verses. Now, Daniel chapter 9. Darkness is the reason he was feeling like this. This was the reason his spirit was failing. His heart was empty. He felt like he was living in hell on earth, because hell is nothing but utter darkness. Daniel chapter 9, verse 17. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer, there it is, of thy servant and his supplications. Notice, and cause thy face to what? Shine. Are y'all there?
Amen.
Shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate. Hey folks, listen to me. Look up here real quick. We are the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We are the temple of God.
Amen.
Of the living God. And the prayer of thy servant, O God, is, O God, cause thy face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. And what Daniel's saying there is the same thing that David is saying in Psalm 143. God, I am surrounded. I am encompassed. I am engulfed in darkness. My enemies have laid me down in the dirt. They've got me face down in the darkness. And my spirit is failing. God, please shine your face upon me. I need your face. I need your light.
Amen.
I need it speedily.
Amen.
See, God's face reveals that He's approving, not angry at us. God's face reveals His light in my darkness. Go back again. God's face also, that's why he's praying for his face. God, hide not thy face. God's face reveals, verse 10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Notice, thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. David's saying, God, I need to see your face. Don't hide your face from me, because your face reveals your good spirit in my spiritual fainting. In my spiritual failing, I need to see your good spirit. Have you ever noticed how when someone, again, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance?
Amen.
Isn't it a blessing to be around someone who is cheerful?
Amen.
And I'm not talking about shallow and goofy. Goofy. Someone who's just, hey, can I say genuine?
Amen.
Sincere, cheerful. Hey, has a on purpose trying to cheer other people up?
Yeah.
Because after all, my countenance being cheerful doesn't help me any. Unless I'm walking around with a mirror. No, a cheerful countenance helps other people.
Amen.
A cheerful countenance helps cheer up other people. But hey, can you imagine like when God's Spirit's always good?
Amen.
Hey, listen, to God's Spirit's always good.
Amen.
God's Spirit's always upbeat. Amen. God's Spirit's always positive. God's Spirit's always, He can't fail. He can't lose. He's never lost a battle. He's never lost a fight. He's never lost. Listen, God does not lose. God doesn't even get close to coming close to losing. God is always on target. God is always right. God is always, Spirit is always good. And so when His face is revealed unto me, His Spirit, His countenance helps my Spirit improve.
Amen.
I need to see Thy good Spirit, God, because my spirit's failing. God, I need to see Your face because my spirit is failing. Nehemiah chapter 9, if you want to look over there real quick, I'll show that verse 2. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 20. Thou gavest also Thy good Spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not Thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for Thy thirst. David was thirsty spiritually. David was hungering and thirsting for God's face. But look what it says here in verse 20 of Nehemiah 9, that God gave His good Spirit to instruct them, to give them food for their hunger and water for their thirst. That's the good graces of God. That's the good Spirit. That's the goodness of our God. Is that when I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for His righteousness, when I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for a cold drink of water to a thirsty soul, listen to me, the good Spirit, the good grace of God will give it to me.
Amen.
When I need it the most.
Amen.
That's what it means to reveal His face, His good Spirit. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
When I need it the most. I can't find it anywhere else. Have you noticed that everything else seems to pale in comparison?
Yeah.
It does not add up. It does not compare. It cannot substitute. There is no substitute for what I'm preaching to you tonight.
Amen.
There's no pill. There's no drug. There's no bottle. There's no sin, obviously. There's nothing that can compare to the face of God.
Amen.
Revealed to you and to me.
Yeah.
Which is light in our darkness.
Right.
It's good Spirit in our spiritual failing. It's His approval. Though I know He's not angry. The Spirit of God, His face, excuse me, go back again. His face reveals also His strength in my weakness. Look in verse 12. 143:12. And of Thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am Thy servant. You know what he's saying? He's saying, God, my enemies are about to get the best of me. He's saying, God, I can't do this by myself. You know, as long as you keep trying to do it by yourself, you're going to end up like this.
Yeah. That's right.
I am too.
Amen.
As long as we keep trying to do it by ourselves, our way, God's going to say,
okay. Yeah. Amen.
David finally said, God, you're going to have to help me with these enemies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm just your servant. That's what he said. At the end of the he said, I'm just your servant. I may be a mighty man among men, but I'm nothing compared to you, God. I need your face. I need to see your face because your face will reveal your strength to me in my weakness.
Amen.
You want to look over, you got to see this verse, 2 Chronicles. I know, I'm testing your Bible skills, your Bible knowledge tonight. That's okay. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. You need to mark this, underline this, memorize this. I might make it November's verse of the month. When you see how long it is, you're going to sigh and heave and hoe. But 2 Chronicles 6, I said I might, amen. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. Are you there? Say amen. For the eyes of the Lord, where are the eyes of the Lord? On His face. Amen? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him.
Yeah.
Then it says, herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Now I'm not going to go over the whole story, but you see, Asa had trusted God for one battle, but then he didn't trust God for the next battle. And so he got this message from God, from the preacher. He said, you know, God's eyes are in heaven just looking throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong. Now, when I see God's eyes, I see His face.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
To show Himself strong in behalf of those who are perfectly sinless, no. Who are beautifully perfect and talented, no. Who have all the money in the world, no. He says, God's looking to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect. See, David was desolate, brokenhearted, broken, wounded spirit, on his last spiritual leg, let's put it that way. His enemies were just about to get the best of him. But listen, he knew where to turn.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Go ahead.
He knew where to turn.
Amen.
God says, when you turn to me with a perfect heart, even though you're not a perfect person, but if your heart is perfect toward me, David was a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
Not a perfect man, we know that.
Yeah.
Not a sinless man, we know that. But he knew where to turn when he was just about done.
Amen.
God's face reveals His strength when I am weakest. David's prayer, go back to Psalm 143. David's prayer was for God to quickly uncover His face, unhide, reveal His face for His servant. Now, obviously we need to understand quickly, this is not a literal vision of God's face. Don't start looking for something weird at the foot of your bed at night. Now, you'd be amazed at the stories I hear. Okay, we're not looking for some kind of vision of anything. Okay,
Amen.
Talking about a spiritual vision of a face. Again, the verses I read to you, I think you understand.
Amen.
We're not talking about some kind of weird literal. Don't come back here on Wednesday night and tell me you saw God's face, you know, in your closet or in the shower. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. Please,
Amen.
This is a spiritual vision. Listen, that was attained. Understand something through prayer.
Amen.
Through prayer.
Amen. Right.
Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
This was a prayer. This was a prayer that God would please reveal His face, that God would reveal His presence, His power, His approval. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then would I hear from heaven, then would I forgive their sins, then would I heal their land. God says you need to spend more time seeking my face. David said, Lord God, please, I'm about to fall over dead, my spirit's broken, my spirit's wounded, my heart's empty.
Yeah.
I don't need but to see your face.
Amen.
Verse 8. Quickly and I'm done. Number one, God's face gives direction. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. God's face gives direction because when his face is pointing toward me, his words are directed toward me. His words cause me to hear his loving kindness. Notice in the morning. God's face gives direction. In other words, when I'm talking to you, I know I have a microphone on, but if I didn't have a microphone on, and if I was talking to you, why in the world would I be talking facing this wall?
Yeah.
But see, when God's face is revealed to you and to me, it directs his words. It causes us to hear his loving kindness. It causes us to hear the words that he has for us. Are you listening to me? My soul, there's where the strength is. There is the word of God, where we not just read it and see it, but hear his words. Cause me, David says, oh God, I need your face to cause me, to point your face toward me so that I can hear your loving kindness in the morning. So I can know, notice what it says, the way wherein I should walk. God, my spirit's so broken. My heart's so empty. My heart is, I'm so just about ready to die. This darkness is consuming me. God, I need your light. But Lord God, I need your, the entrance of thy word giveth light and maketh wise the simple. The light, God, I need. Please direct your words towards me. And then show me which way I should walk today.
Amen.
Direct your words towards me, God. Please stop talking to destiny, God. Please, God, I need you to talk to me, God. Okay. Gym area. We laugh, but the fact is, there are times where you read your Bible and you don't hear nothing.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
I'm reading, Lord God, I'm reading, Lord God, I'm still reading, Lord, I'm still reading. God, don't hide your face from me, please. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness so I can know which way to go.
Amen.
So I can know how to handle this situation. So I can know what to do. I don't know, God. I need your face. I need you to direct your words towards me, your loving kindness towards me, so you can direct my steps in the way that I should go.
Amen. Amen.
Cause me. God's face gives direction. God's face gives protection. Verse 9. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. If God doesn't hide us behind his back.
Yeah.
God hides us under his sheltering wings.
Amen.
God hides us under his watchful eye and his sheltering wings. Now Seth could hide behind me if somebody was out here, and that would be okay, but it's not real personal, is it?
Yeah.
However, comma, this. This is more personal protection. You okay? I hurt. No, it's not supposed to hurt. But you see, you know, you can sneak up on God from behind, but that's really not what you're looking for.
Right.
We're looking for God to show his face to us and deliver us from our...
Yeah. No.
Protect us from our enemies.
Amen.
Right.
He doesn't have a microphone. It doesn't hurt. Thank you, Seth. Appreciate you. So God's face, it gives us direction. It gives us protection. Verse 10, teach me to do thy will. God's face gives us instruction. Oh, we need this. I hope you're understanding this tonight. I'm just going through these real quick, and I'm going to let you go. God's face gives me instruction. See, verse 10 says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Lead me, Lord, into the land of uprightness. God's face gives instruction to lead me to uprightness, to righteousness. See, when God looks upon us and leads us, have you ever led anybody with your eyes? Like in the middle of church when your kids aren't behaving? I'm leading you to shut. Miss Mary Jane, have you ever done that to your kids? Yeah. You betcha. If you've been in church long enough with your kids, it's like... But you know, you can lead somebody too. That's frustrating when they don't... You know. Get over there! Well, God leads us always to be more upright.
Amen.
To walk in the paths of righteousness. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Amen. Amen.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. See, God's face leads us. We see His face. We get an idea. We understand He's leading us. Not just speaking to us, but He's leading us with His countenance. You can see His spirit. Again, we talked about that. His eyes. His eyes direct us. They help us. I'm just talking about a literal presence of God.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I can talk to you and tell you which way to go, but man, it's a lot easier and a lot easier to figure out and easily comprehended and understood for me to turn around and talk to you where you can see my face, you can see my eyes, you can see my fingers, you can see me instructing you. Are you understanding?
Amen.
Go that way, go this way, go that way, go this way. Now, God needs to turn around and say, okay, now I'm going to instruct you in the paths of righteousness.
Yeah. Amen.
See, God's face is a big deal.
Amen.
It's a big deal.
Amen.
Hide not thy face from me. Hide not thy face. God's face gives us direction. God's face gives us protection. Right, Seth? God's face gives us instruction. And finally, what we really need and what David really needed in verse 11, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteous sake, bring my soul out of trouble. God's face gives us resuscitation. Resuscitation. That's revival, folks.
Amen.
That's quicken me means, Lord God, please bring me back to life.
Amen.
Lord God, please fill my heart again. I don't want it to be empty any longer. God, please strengthen, renew, and heal my wounded spirit.
Amen.
Quicken me, O Lord. I'm down here in the dust. Quicken me according to thy word. Don't hide your face from me. I need to be resuscitated. When someone's lying down, face down in the dirt, amen, roll them over and do cardio, pulmonary resuscitation or CPR. And that's what you're doing. You're trying to revive them. You're trying to get them back to life because something's really wrong. They swallowed a piece of pizza without chewing it up. Amen. But we laugh, but the fact is, spiritually speaking, this happens to people. And God's face has the power to resuscitate us, revive us again. Show me thy face. Hide not thy face from me, O God, lest I be like them that go down into the pit. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. My heart is desolate. I need thy face to resuscitate me, to protect me, instruct me, to help guide me. I need thy face to direct my path. Oh, his face is so irreplaceable. There's nothing like it in this world.
Amen.
Hide not thy face from me. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
I know there's a lot more in here, but these are the things that God showed me.
Amen.
I told you earlier that I was in out of town for Tuesday through Saturday. I tried to get my family to go with me, but Miss Fogg likes her house. And so I understand. And Alyssa's working the job, and Shelby has to take care of Alyssa, I think. I'm not sure. Well, Samuel said, I'll go.
Amen.
Boy, all you want to do is get out of school. I'll go. I'll take my school with me. I'll do it. I'll do my school there. He did.
Amen.
Yay!
A little bit. And we got there, and the church is in one building up here, and there's a parking lot, and then there's another building down here at the bottom of the parking lot, and it used to be an old school building, a Christian school building, but now they've got it converted, and some of the classrooms they've turned into prophets' chambers or missions chambers where visiting preachers stay, while they're, or missionaries, whatever, stay. So we went down in Tuesday night, and we got checked in. It's not a hotel. Anyway, we moved in our stuff and our bags, and we unpacked and everything. And we went to church Tuesday night, and it was a good time. And then we went down to bed Tuesday night for the first night there. Well, it's a cinder block building. And if you know anything about cinder blocks, light doesn't get through them. Light does not get through cinder blocks. And so we got ourselves ready, and he was in, there's three beds in there, so we were able to sleep in separate beds, thank God. And so we turned the lamps on and got the lights turned out, and we got ourselves all situated, and we prayed together and said, okay, buddy. And I turned my lamp off and I said, okay, you climb up there, turn your lamp off, and let's go to sleep. So he climbed up there and he hit that lamp switch, and it went pitch black. I mean, pitch black.
Yeah.
And it was not 3 seconds after he hit that light switch. Here's what he said. Dad, are you still there?
Amen.
I said, son, you just turned the light out. Of course I'm still here. He said, oh, good.
Amen.
And then I realized, just because we can't see God, He's still there.
Amen.
Sometimes the darkness hides His face.
Amen. Good.
And what we need to do, just like, it was not 3 seconds. I'm not kidding you. Dad, are you still there? I'm not kidding. The light was still kind of, it was, Dad, you still there? It didn't take long. Before he said, Dad, I can't see your face anymore.
Amen.
Dad, it's kind of scary in this darkness. Are you still there?
No.
And you know, it dawned on me, that's how we are.
Right. Yep.
That's how we need to be with God.
Amen. Yes, sir. It's good.
God, as soon as I'm talking to you. We're in fellowship. We're in communion. All of a sudden, somebody turns the lights out. God, are you still there?
Yeah.
I can't see you.
Amen.
God, don't hide your face from me, please.
Amen.
Terror can grip your soul.
Right.
Oh, God, well, are you still there? I said, son, look, just because the lights are off, just because you can't see me, I'm still here.
Amen.
Just because you can't see him, he's there.
Amen.
But listen, get serious about praying, God. Please don't hide your face from me too long. My spirit's failing. My heart's empty. I'm overwhelmed. This darkness, these enemies, this persecution. I feel like I'm living in hell on earth. because I can't see your face. Let's bow our heads tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, I thank you, Lord,